Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. One day a preacher who had just lost his family to a tragic fire and had fallen into the depths of a deep and dark depression was walking down a city street. There he came upon a construction crew that was erecting a new church. He stopped to watch them as they worked. As he watched, he observed a worker who was busy carving a triangle out of a stone with a chisel and a hammer. Stepping closer, he asked the stonecutter what it was that he was carving. The worker pointed to the steeple of the church and said, "Do you see that small opening up there near the steeple? Well, I am carving this stone down here so that it will fit in up there." The preacher was immediately stirred in his heart. He realized anew the faithfulness of God and came to understand that the valley he was in at that moment was God's way of carving him down here so that he would fit in up there. We live in a world that is filled with people just like that preacher. There are people all around us who live their lives in depression, despair, despondency, and defeat. There are some in that condition right now, some listening today. Through the ages, many famous people have been plagued with difficulties of this sort. Individuals like George Washington, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Winston Churchill, and many other hymn writers. Even David, who was called the man after God's own heart, suffered from depression and defeat. This psalm was born out of a time of depression, discouragement, and defeat. You heard the words that I mentioned in this psalm. Your enemy, the enemy has persecuted my soul, crushed my life, made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. This man is suffering through depression. I want to preach from this passage today in an effort to encourage you. I know that many throughout the land, in churches, in our communities, are going through some very difficult valleys right now. I want to encourage you by challenging you. I want to challenge you by saying, don't waste this time of the Lord refining you. Don't waste this time. He is conforming you into the image of Christ. I know that many people do not want to believe it, but God is in charge of all life. Psalm 37:23 tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of the believer, brothers and sisters, are ordered by God Almighty. And just as surely as God commands the direction of our lives, he also directs and controls the disruptions of our lives. Let us not forget what Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. He controls the valleys. He determines their depth, their length, and their duration. He sends the valley seasons into our lives to develop us and to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice I said valley seasons. These times are for a season, brothers and sisters. It will soon end, all of it, sooner or later, and we're all going to be in the glory. Don't forget, I just said, all things work together for good in verse 28 of Romans 8. Now look at verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. As I said, the Lord is using all of the valleys in our lives that take place to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:13 tells us this. Till we all come, talking about the equipping of the saints, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Notice that first word, till. We all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. The Lord is using all of these trials, tribulations that come into our life to conform us into the image of Christ, into the full stature of Christ. As we consider the divisions of this psalm, let's take the time to reflect on what God is doing in us as we move through our valleys. There are always going to be some sort of valley in our life, and we're not to waste this time. The characteristics that God is developing in us are revealed in the psalm. These characteristics teach us why we'd be foolish to waste the valleys that God sends our way. First of all, turn back to Psalm 143. Look at verse 3. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Darkness. Many times, brothers and sisters, in our lives, there's a darkness. We feel as if there is no help. The context of this psalm we're reading is the rebellion of Absalom and the revolt of Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor. Look at Psalm 41. Psalm 41, verse 9, tells us this. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. David's familiar friend, in whom he trusted, ate bread together, fellowship together, has lifted up his heel against me. The valley of darkness. Also, look at verse 4. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. The valley of depression. His heart is overwhelmed, shrouded, carries the idea of being encased in darkness, desolate, stunned, blown away. He can't believe it. Carries the idea of total astonishment. It's as if David cannot believe what has happened to him. It's as if he has no heart to go on. And I could only assume that many today find themselves in that place. They can't even go on, they feel. Many are walking in that valley today. the valley of depression, the valley of darkness, also the valley of despair. Verse 7 of our text, 143. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. He basically has no hope. Fail it to be at the end. David feels he's reached the end of his rope, and that if God doesn't lift the veil of his darkness, then he is no better off than those who go down into death. And many are walking in this dark valley, even right now. The valleys of life, brothers and sisters, are a shared experience. Obviously, there's many different types of valleys, and we don't all pass through the same places, but we all pass through the valley. There's valleys of sickness, valleys of death, valleys of financial turmoil, emotional distress, spiritual upheaval, and marital discord. There are valleys that touch the body, touch the soul, touch the mind, and touch the family. There are valleys of every description and kind. The one thing, brothers and sisters, that we all share in common is that we all pass through the valleys. This is not a strange thing for the child of God. The children of God has passed through the valleys all through life, but yet the scripture says, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ecclesiastes 2:2. For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. And this is also vanity, the valleys of life. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. Notice what Christ says, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. That's the hard part, brothers and sisters, when you're going through the valleys of life. But be of good cheer, Christ says, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. The valleys of life are going to come our way. That is a given. And when they come, we must remember that they come to us from the hand of a loving father. If Job teaches us anything, it teaches us that the trials that come, the valleys that come, the tribulations that come, they come from the hand of a loving father. Job 2, verses 3, 7, and 10. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. All the trials and tribulations that Satan brought Job through, but they came through the hand of a loving father. Verse 7, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Verse 10, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So these trials and tribulations and this valley that Job is going through, he didn't go through it because he was involved in some quote-unquote secret sin. He was involved in the pruning process of God. He was in the valley because God was conforming him into the image of Jesus Christ. This is all being used for God's purposes. Job 42 11. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him, and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity the Lord had brought upon him. Notice, they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. The Lord had brought the adversity upon him, and at the end, his brothers, his sisters, and all those that had been his acquaintances before, they came to his house, and then they consoled and comforted him. Brothers and sisters, you who are going through the valley of this life, I would want to be one of those that would console you today, that would comfort you today, through the teachings that we find in the psalm. We must remember that the valleys, they come because he is in the business, brothers and sisters, of perfecting us. He is perfecting us to the full stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And we're to be careful we don't waste this valley. God is using all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God wants to teach us while we're in the valley, and it's our duty to learn the lessons that we acquire in this valley. The flowers grow on in the valleys, not on the mountaintop. You look at a mountain, on the mountaintop, there's very few flowers there. But in the valleys, there's plenty of flowers. That's where the growth in our lives, brothers and sisters, as Christians, take place. In the valleys of life, not on the mountaintops. That's one of the things today. Many in the churches are always teaching victory, victory, all this mountaintop experience. But that's not necessarily so, brothers and sisters. Yes, there's moments of valley experience, mountaintop experience. But most of the Christian lives, brothers and sisters, is a life of valleys. That's the reality of life. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Paul taught us this. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, notice, is made perfect in weakness. In the valleys, in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you're in the valleys, the power of Christ is resting upon you. The strength is being made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our brother Paul learned this truth in the valleys of life. If you are one of the many saints who are walking through the valley, there's hope for you today. That's why I said I want to comfort and console you. There's hope for you today. You may feel that life has become unbearable, but let me encourage you today. With all the despair that marks this psalm, there is also much reason for rejoicing here. First of all, we repent when we're in the valleys. When we're in the valleys, we enter a season of repentance. Even though we should repent every day of our life as Christians, it's especially in the valley that the Lord prunes us of many sins that we didn't even know we had, that even existed. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So the psalm is starting off by saying your transgression is forgiven, your sin is covered, and the Lord is not imputing iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. But notice verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand, speaking to God, was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Many times, not all the time, but many of the valleys that we experience is being used by God to cause us to repent of our sin. Our valleys, while they are always the result of living in a sin-cursed world, are not always caused, though, by our sin. I don't want you to think, oh, it's because of sin. It could be, but it's not always the case. When we begin to seek God, our sin will always become an issue to be dealt with. Even in Job, you know, when you read Job, it starts off that he didn't open his mouth against the Lord, that he didn't bring no charges against the Lord. But as you continue to read Job, even Job, the one that was righteous, the one that was blameless before the Lord, as you read the book of Job, you see eventually, even Job, there was sin there that Job did not know about. And the sin was is that he started to complain against the Lord. He started to doubt the goodness of the Lord. And Job learned that lesson. And what happened further on in the story? Then God calls Job forward. And Job covers his mouth. He can't even speak. He's quiet before the Lord. For he knew that in that valley, just like all of us, in that valley, sooner or later, you start complaining and moaning and groaning and doubting God. That was the story of the Jews in the wilderness over and over and over. They grumbled, they complained, they moaned and groaned. Then they'd repent, the Lord would bless them, then the same thing over and over and over. But let us remember 1 John 1, verses 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Regardless of whether or not sin is responsible for our valley, we are still sinners in need of repentance. Like I said, no matter how strong of a saint you would think that you are, in the valleys, you will find, even as when you look near a window, when the sun comes in a window, you see all that dust? You see all that dust in the room? When the light comes piercing through a window, you see dust that you can't see with the naked eye until that sun. And that's what happens in the valleys of life. The valleys have a way of bringing us to our knees. The valleys have a way of causing us to reflect on our relationship with the Lord. Anything that brings us into a closer relationship with God is a good thing. We learn in the valleys that God is sovereign. David had much to remember. The stories of what God had done for Israel, and closer home, the great things that God had done for David personally. He remembered the lion, the bear, the giant, Saul. He remembered verse 5 of our text, 143, says this, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. Notice, as he remembered the days of old, as he meditated on all the works of God, as he pondered on the work of God's hand, that is when David began to come out of the valley. We must remember what God has done for us, brothers. As I said, I want to console and comfort those today listening in the valley of life. Remember what God has done. Review your life. Read his word. Remember how he saved your soul and he changed your life. Remember how he has abundantly blessed you and it will refresh your heart and encourage you to carry on through the valley. Don't deny the valleys. That's what the prosperity teachers teach. No negative confession. Make believe like there's no valley. And it's just the opposite. God Almighty brings us in the valley so that he can bless us in the valley. Let me end. I want to speak of William Cowper a little bit, the great hymn writer. He often lived in the depths of depression and despair. Matter of fact, he hired a carriage driver to take him to London Bridge. His plan was to throw himself into the river and end his life. However, when the driver picked him up and started for the bridge, they found themselves driving for hours in a dense fog. Frustrated, Cowper demanded that the driver stop and let him out to walk. When he stepped from the carriage, he was shocked to find that he was standing in front of his own front door. After driving for hours and hours in the fog, it became apparent to him that the Lord still had a use for his life. And brothers and sisters, he still has a use for your life and for my life. Cowper entered his home and he penned the words to that famous song, God works in mysterious ways. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not, see, this is what happens to the saints. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, by reasoning, but trust him for his grace. So, as I said, you must remember, you must ponder the works of God before. Judge not the Lord by feeble reasoning, but trust him for his grace, his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. You will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to the perfect stature of the fullness of Christ. Blind unbelief is sure to err, to error, and scan his work in vain. God in his own is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Brothers and sisters, when we are in the valleys of life, we need a fresh encounter with the Lord. And hopefully today, as we began to study this psalm, you will have a fresh encounter with God Almighty. You will have a fresh encounter with God Almighty. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I ponder the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah. Remember, meditate, ponder upon our great God, for he is faithful to finish the work that he has started in your life, brothers and sisters. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've come to Christ, if you haven't come to Christ, if you haven't come to Christ, Christ commands you to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You shall be saved. If you've never come to Christ before, you are just bitter and angry when you go through the valleys of life, for you feel that there's no purpose to it, that it's just worthless, and you become angry and bitter and furious and hostile, and many of those emotions are directed towards God. For you know, even if you would not admit it, you know that there is a God, and you blame him for these hard times that you come to in your life. That's been the case of many during this time of COVID throughout the world. How many people have lost jobs and houses? How many have lost their health? How many have had loved ones die? And you're blaming God. You're bitter with God. You're angry with God. But you want nothing to do with God. But God would say to you today to come, to come. You that are heavy burden and laden, heavy laden, come to him. Cast your burdens upon him. Cast your cares upon him. And your greatest care is your soul. For the scripture says, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For you can know of none of the things that I spoke of today and gain this whole world. But if you forfeit your soul, what will it profit you? For it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I would admonish you today to come to Christ for salvation. And you could say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 32, that the Lord forgave his sins, that he wasn't imputing his iniquity, and that his transgressions were covered. Come to Christ today and know the blessing of having your sins forgiven.